Welcome to Local Matters. I'm Louis Matheny, and I am in the studio with Cookeville Mayor Ricky Shelton. Now, Ricky and I did not realize until recently that we'd met years ago when we were both kids, when my father used to work for his father. But in the meantime, our paths have gone in various directions, and his leading him to be a leader that has taken care of a community that has gone through some of the worst disasters, including the obvious COVID-19, but just on its heels prior to that, we had a tornado that came tearing through our community and completely undermined the community in certain parts in ways that have just been devastating. And for a person to be handling all of that is a person who deserves the title Grace Under Pressure. So Ricky Shelton, let me start by saying you are ultimately Grace Under Pressure. I don't know how you do it. And when you went into office, I'm sure you didn't take an oath to deal with a tornado and a virus that would nearly destroy our country, right?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all, and appreciate being here. But yeah, it's definitely been a very challenging last 4.5-5 months, and no one would have known what any of our community has dealt with or was going to deal with, and when 2020 started. But to go from a tornado, most devastating natural disaster in our county's history, with 19 of our citizens dying in that, and then the cleanup and the outpouring of love and support that came through that. And then right into a pandemic and what that has done to our community and the unknown, because there is so much unknown about it. And there's a lot of unknown, but there's also a lot of misinformation and a lot of changing. The information we receive changes almost definitely weekly and sometimes daily. And so just figuring out all that and how to work that into our community. And then, it's just it's been a lot. I will say that.
I can imagine. There's no way that I could come even close to using the word politician to describe you, but ultimately leader, empath, a person to whom we all look for information and help, and a person who has to pull all of that together for himself on a personal level and keep it together on a day-to-day basis. I don't know how you do it, and I'm in admiration of that. And in the meantime, you're involved in so many projects, including your organization, Better Cookeville, which manages to rise above all of that to a level that elevates us in ways that other communities are not able to at this point.
My wife and I started that foundation about 4 years ago, and we wanted to use it to help facilitate positivity in our community and events in our community and raise money for our, obviously we just completed Red, White, and Boom, our 4th of July celebration, which we had to modify, but we were still able to have it, and we'll come back to that in a minute, but also Christmas in the Park and other things. You want it to be a community and economic catalyst for our community and something that can live on beyond my term in office. I was elected to the council in 2002 and served 8 years and rolled off. We have term limits and ran again in 2014, was elected and became mayor, and then ran again in 18 and mayor. So I have 2 years left on my term. And, like I said, it's definitely been the first 6 years, first 5.5 years is definitely different than the last 5 months. But our Red, White, and Boom that we did with our Better Cookeville, we just completed that. And while it was very different, where we only were able to have a socially, physically distanced fireworks show, but we were able to stream it. We were able to, StoneCom and all the radio stations here have always been a partner from day one with me, but we added in WCTE and their broadcast, and then Mayor Porter and I's Facebook page. So we streamed that all over the country. It's been seen on TV. It was actually on national TV as well. So, we had the largest fireworks show in the state of Tennessee this year because the largest one canceled. They weren't able, the Nashville, the way they do theirs, everyone was crammed into one spot. We were able to spread out all across town. And so you can literally be from one end of the town to the next and still be able to see our fireworks show. So that worked out for us in this. And so we're proud to do that. Can't do it without partners, business partners, and others that believe in that vision that we started, and we hope to continue that.
Well, and I had texted you, I think, just about an hour after the show to say to you that it started with a single text from a friend of mine in New York City who texted me to say, I am watching fireworks in Cookeville, Tennessee. And I texted back to say, are you drunk? Because I know I'm not. What are you talking about? And she said, I'm watching fireworks on CNN. And they mentioned Cookeville, Tennessee. And then you were personally interviewed by CNN as on top of that, correct?
I was. When CNN did a special, The Fourth in America, and they were featuring New York, Washington, Jacksonville, Florida, Houston, and Nashville. And when Nashville canceled theirs, our vendor for pyrotechnics is Pyro Shows out of La Follette, Tennessee. They've been with us since day one. They're one of the largest in the country. And so the president of the Pyrotechnics Association said, hey, Nashville's canceled. Who else do you have? Because they usually do Nashville as well. And he said, well, I have the largest in Tennessee now, Cookeville. And they said, well, put us together. And so he hooked me up with them, had multiple conversations with them on Friday. And they said, I described what we were doing, how we were trying to do it and do it safely. And they were impressed with that. And so they said, well, not only are we going to show it, we want to interview you on Saturday and tell that story. And so we did the live interview on Saturday, and then they sent a satellite truck and a drone team up, and they filmed our show and then showed it as part of their four-hour special. So it was neat to see, you know, when they showed Cookeville, Tennessee, along with the others. And so, again, you know, I wanted to make sure – I'm always cognizant of how our community looks and things, and I wanted to make sure that – you know, they weren't going to try to utilize this as we were doing something wrong, but they wanted to celebrate the fact that we were trying to do it right and still have something that our community could rally around. Because we made ours in honor of the tornado victims and survivors, the first responders, the healthcare workers, and the volunteers that all helped during the tornado, and actually had a special segment during the fireworks with music and a call out during that where the fireworks stopped for about 10 seconds. Announced what we were doing, a special segment, and then had some music, and of course the whole show is choreographed to music. So that was pretty neat time.
We're talking with Ricky Shelton, mayor of Cookeville, Tennessee, and that was a very important moment in that fireworks display and celebration of our independence that reminded me very much of award shows that happen at the end of the year in which they pause to look back and reflect on the people, the great people that they've lost. And you managed to allow the community a moment to grieve as well just within those few minutes. So it was an uplifting of the community, not only in the ways that we've always wanted to have for the 4th of July, but so that we could all sort of uplift our spirits and share in the grief and the devastation that we felt without feeling devastated in the moment. And once again, only a great empath could do that, and somebody could balance all of those ideas in once and put them together under one of it. You must be balancing things like that on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis, right?
I do, and you know, it's one of those things. Faith is very strong to me, and so I always pray for wisdom and discernment and trying to wrap my head around how things are supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do to try to get there. And certainly don't always make the exact right decisions, but I certainly try. And I want to do that for my community because, you know, it's my hometown. Like you said, it's your hometown. And I have a different care and concern for it than a normal person elected to office maybe, or a regular person that's elected, maybe not from here. Or I just view things from a different way because I've seen what it was. I know what we're trying to get there and trying to make it, and then I really care about that path.
Well, one of the things you helped make it and continue to make it is something that I've noticed that I read about in statistics, which is Cookeville is the center of what is known as one of the most thriving micropolitan mm-hmm. regions in the country. And if I'm correct in assuming this, it's Cookeville, which is the center of Putnam County and includes two other counties and their towns and one, as one micropolitan community.
Yeah, I think how they count that is it's a radius of 100,000. So what's that radius beyond Cookeville that encompasses 100,000 people? So it does pick up parts of Jackson and Overton and a little bit of White, I think, as they make that circle. But as you said, we're either eighth or ninth fastest growing micropolitan in the country. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of folks moving here. We've always been the hub. I mean, when you and I grew up, this was the hub of the Upper Cumberland.
Yes.
We still are. And that really shows itself now in the shopping, the jobs. You know, we've added 4,500 jobs in the past 5 years, a few more coming online now. And so that's been great. Keep our unemployment low. again, aside from what we're all dealing with now, because this is a nationwide thing that we're dealing with unemployment now, that we're not talking about that. I'm talking about before that. But I do think our community is resilient. We typically don't have as low of lows as some communities have, because we have a little bit more steady base, I think. And so things don't hit here as hard typically. And we saw that through the pandemic when we had a lot of things shut down. Our sales tax revenue was not off that much because we still were. There were so many essential businesses designated by the governor. So many essential businesses still open. People were still coming here because they still needed to have food and supplies.
Right. Hub of the Upper Cumberland for listeners outside of the immediate area, because this does become a worldwide podcast eventually on iTunes, is referring to the fact that we sit at the sort of first start of the ascent into the Appalachian region, or the Smoky Mountains, at least it's called in this part of the state. You go through sort of a flat part of the state in the west. We lift up, then we're on this plateau, and for years we were the center of that original plateau, both going east, west, and north,
and
south.
And then the hub being, pretend like it's a wheel. The hub
exactly.
In the middle, and then all these communities that surround us all come here to shop as a spoke.
And as I'm sitting here looking at you, I'm looking at the guy that is the center of that hub, more or less, in many ways. Of course, there's a lot of support from other people, and we have something here that other communities not necessarily have a county mayor, and a lot of people, I didn't know of the term either until I came here.
Used to be called county executive, and now they kind of consolidated that term. Some counties had county mayors, some had county executives. Still, the official designee of the county does, the city mayor, for me, it's not a full-time job. You know, it's a, we elect five council people the way we have. We have a city manager form of government, so it's kind of run like a business. And so, I'm serving more like a volunteer role. I just treat it like it's a full-time job.
You certainly do. Well, Ricky, there's so much more to talk about that, and we'll do that in a couple of minutes when we come back with Ricky Shelton, mayor of Cookeville, Tennessee.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
We're back in the studio with Local Matters. I'm Louis Matheny, and I'm talking with the mayor of Cookeville, who stands at the center of what is known as one of the most thriving micropolitan regions in the country. And in addition to having that role, apparently you've been given about a month ago an appointment that's a very admirable thing for one to add to the resume, and that is on the Homeland Security Council.
Yes, sir. Governor Lee notified me about a month ago that I was appointed as a city mayor. I'm the only city mayor on this council. It was established after 9/11, and each state has a Homeland Security Council. And so they are charged with, as federal money from the Homeland Security flows into the states, each state Homeland Security Council is charged with figuring out how to disperse that, prioritize that to the various localities, then, and however that's spent. Also, if there were to be another major event like 9/11, we would be activated to deal with any kind of day-to-day activities. Kind of comes on the heels of, after our tornado, I spent a number of days in our EOC, or Emergency Operations Center, with County Mayor Porter and our other local team. And I enjoy those kinds of things. My father was the police chief and fire chief here many years ago, and so I've always been around that, emergency services type things. And so I have a great deal of respect and admiration for our first responders, and So I'm honored to get to be a part of this, and that's kind of an extension of that. And so look forward to the next few years on that and see what I can make a difference of.
I heard you very humbly say, in a way, and I don't think you were even aware, you said on the heels of the tornado came this appointment. And in many ways, I would have to say, as a result of that this terrible tragedy occurred, somebody somewhere must have sat down and said, we want to pick one city mayor. Now, you may or may not be able to admit this, and I wouldn't expect you to, but humility aside, don't you think that that was part of the decision-making process in which they said, if we could pick one city mayor from Tennessee, who would it be?
Well,
did anybody ever mention that to you or no?
I was asked, and I had a lot of interactions with Governor Lee and his team during our situation. As well as, you know, interactions with senators and congressmen, and of course President Trump came, and so there we had a lot of recognition and hate we had to get it in that capacity, but it was nice to have the backing of state and federal leaders with us to try to help us get through this. And you know, even to the point when I received the phone call from President Trump, and. And he said, what do you need? And I said, we need a disaster declaration as soon as possible. Literally 24 hours later, he signed it. And that's kind of unheard of to get something that quickly. But that started everything flowing to our community, the help we needed. That was beyond, you know, you can only do so much locally. You need bigger pieces to come and help. And that's what happened. And so we were very thankful for that.
You know, if I think I could just state my own opinion, I think it could be said that it happened as a result of the fact that you're an honest communicator from the heart. I hear passion. I hear absolute truth coming through all of this. There's no fluff. There's no sort of political layering of stuff onto this in which you're driving forth your future as a politician or anything. It's that you are this person coming from the heart, as a person that loves this community. And I think that more than anything is the reason that things like this can happen for Cookeville, because that's the kind of person you are.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do love this community. And, you know, everybody's, call it a political career or whatever, it's going to be over. And all you have left is your integrity and your honesty and how you treat people. And my dad taught me that. And so that's, you know, he's my hero. And so I've tried to pattern my life after the things he taught me. And that was one of the foundational principles of that. And he always told me, you see the same people, be careful, because you'll see the same people on the way down as you saw on the way up. And sometimes you need them to help keep you from falling.
So that's very good advice. We'll have you back again for a part two of this program, and we're going to be talking about your dad and my memory of him as a child.
He was very good. Your dad and my dad were very good friends.
Yeah, and I didn't realize it exactly. I never made the connection. You know, I'd heard your last name for so many years, and just suddenly when the word Coy came up and your father's name, it all clicked. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
Sure.
But again, your dad was doing the same kind of thing that you're doing, pulling people together, and through really empathy, compassion, and having a vision, he managed to make something happen for my father in the way of work that would not have happened had he not just gotten together collectively with my dad's sort of inspiration and took it to the next level.
Sure.
And I guess that's part of where you came up with Better Cookeville, and we started talking about that, and we mentioned the 4th of July celebration. But tell us some other things that are coming up in the next year that we can look forward to on one level or another. And they may be this new normal versus the old normal, but they include things like Christmas celebrations, right?
Right. Well, and you mentioned vision, you know, and the Bible says that without vision, the people perish. And so that's certainly something that we've tried to facilitate as a vision for what do we want Cookeville to be. And that was part of what Better Cookeville is the actual tagline of it is, you know, enriching Cookeville in the lives of its citizens now and in the future will help lead Cookeville where it wants to go. And so part of that is having things to bring people together. And that was one of the things that was really important as when we ran and were elected, was there really wasn't a lot of events happening in our town. So we started the 4th of July, Red, White, and Boom, and had multiple facets to that. It typically, you know, parade and a downtown water slide and a patriotic ceremony. And then Christmas in the Park, which was something that we had never had. We purchased this 40-foot tall tree, and plays music. And then I said, well, let's put it was kind of put on my heart, and let's make this more than just a tree lighting. So we had an event. We had 5,000 people in the park to light our Christmas tree. And we had 400 children with 8 school and community choirs. And We're singing Christmas carols around the tree, and we have Santa there. And last year we took it up another notch, and we had the Grinch there, and had a whole skit with that. And so, we've tried to grow it each year, and it's really neat. We've had special music artists from Nashville and other places, and it's a 1 hour in the park, and literally it's like a Hallmark moment for our town. And I get a lot of comments about that. You know, we don't know what the future is going to be like as far as what we're going to be able to do or not do as far as people coming together. I certainly hope that we get on the other side of this with a vaccine or whatever that looks like. But we will continue to try to find things that we can do safely and responsibly.
Talking to Ricky Shelton, Mayor of Cookeville, and what you can not see but hear is the smile in his voice. And as he's talking about Christmas and all these things coming up, I'm watching this guy smile as he talks about it. And that's an important thing, that it's really coming from the heart. And that word that you had in the middle of the sentence, which is hope. So many of us across the country, across the world, are hoping and looking for somebody to give us hope, you know, and that's Absolutely. Part of what you do. That's just simply, Mayor of Cookeville or not, you're a guy providing hope to people and smiling through all of this and uplifting us, and that's just an amazing thing to be able to do. And I'm assuming that's a trait of yours from childhood. Would I be correct in assuming that?
Pretty much. But, you know, one thing that I'm seeing, and if you're on social media a lot, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I think we're in a time now where people are very anxious and people are very on edge and, you know, not sure of the future. And you see that manifest itself in people writing and saying things on social media that they would never say to somebody in person. And that's sad. I get a lot of it, and County Mayor Porter and I get a brunt of a lot of it because we have such a large number of people, you know, 40,000 people on our social media pages. We reach all over the country, and it gets people very, very divisive sometimes. You know, we try to share information, and it turns into people being mad at one another and saying ugly things, and that's disappointing. It seems like people are want to be outraged about something, and we need to take a step back and, you know, whether you agree with wearing a mask or not, you know, I mean, that's become a political issue, for instance. That's one of those things. And, you know, if you're willing to wear a mask and you think that's the right thing to do, then you should do it. And you shouldn't criticize those that don't. Likewise, if you don't, you know what I'm saying? So it's become one of those things where if you don't do this, you don't love people. Or if you do this, you only like one political party. Those are the kinds of things where everything's just completely like drawn lines in the sand. And we used to not be like that as a people. And it's disappointing. And it makes it hard to lead and govern when everything is just so drawn. You got to do this or this. There's no middle. Well, the middle is where most people are. You just figure out how to navigate that. But I've seen way too much. It's over here or over here. And if you're not here, you're wrong. If you're not here, you're wrong. Well, most of us are here.
Yes.
And we're just trying to figure out how to make that work.
Right.
And we've gotten away from that. We need to get back to being kind. And, you can agree to disagree. You don't have to be ugly.
I just watched you with your hands. You were drawing sort of a wide, straight line, but you zigzagged left and right.
Yeah, because that's the facts. If you think about it, there's no one you're ever going to align with perfectly, whatever it is. Okay. So it is a slightly curving road. Sometimes you're here and sometimes you're here, but you can't always be here. And if you're not here, you're bad, or, you know, vice versa. So that's the, I don't know. It's just over 6 years of seeing this, it's just become, no matter what we say is wrong.
One of the things that's been happening across the country for years now is more and more people are having trouble sleeping at night. So
yes.
I suspect at some point, if you have nothing better to do in life, you could open a sleep disorder clinic and help people. I can't imagine how a guy you is able to sleep at night.
I don't sleep much, about 4 hours. So I would check into that probably.
That could be another.
My mind career. Never shuts off. Imagine that.
I can.
I bet
totally
yours don't either. Though.
I recognize in you an exact trait that I have, which is, you know, there's tick 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 going on all the time.
Yes,
that's something you have to have if you're going to be balancing all that you're balancing, and it's an admirable trait, I think, and something I didn't know about. about you until I got here and decided to become a part of this community in the way that my mostly aunt had done. And you may or may not remember that my grandfather was once sole mail carrier for the entire town of Cookeville when it was that small. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about so many other things when you're back on the show, which I hope you do. And today I've had a great time talking to Mayor of Cookeville, Ricky Shelton, and I hope to have you back again soon.
Thanks so much, Lewis. Appreciate it.